Now remember, this Sunday we're just going to have the one service at 10 o'clock. So those that are not here, you might want to tell them, Henry Doris, if you see them, they may show up with a second service and we won't have one. So we want to make sure we pass that on. Isaiah 50. This chapter here has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is Christ speaking throughout this chapter. This is our Lord speaking here, not just Isaiah, but this is our Lord speaking here throughout this chapter. And he's going to answer an accusation that the Jews have made and being cast off. They're claiming that they have been cast off, and especially after his resurrection. You know, the Roman army came in and pretty much just decimated Jerusalem and destroyed it and scattered them. And this is a charge, you know, that God has forsaken them. He's cast them off. So our Lord is speaking here in this prophecy in chapter 50. He says, "Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement?" In other words, produce the papers that says that I divorced you. Produce the document that says that I have cast you off. You know, back in that day, if a man was going to divorce his wife, he just gave her a bill of divorcement of writing as to why he divorced her and sent her on her way. I mean, they would get a divorce back then over just about anything. I mean, a man just didn't, if he didn't like the way she dressed or whatever, he can just send her on her way. And that's what he's saying here. He said, produce the paper or the documents that says, I sent you away, that I have divorced you, that I have separated myself from you. You produce that paper. And to which of my creditors have I sold you? Who am I in debt to? Who am I in such debt to that I have sold my children into slavery to satisfy that debt? He said, who am I in debt to? The root of the problem here, and he addresses the root of the problem. Here it is, your iniquities. You sold yourself. He said, let's get this matter straightened out. You sold yourself. Here's the problem. Here's the root of the problem. You sold your iniquities and your transgressions. For them, you've sold yourselves. As it says in Isaiah 59, your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. The problem's not with me, God. It's with you. He said, it's with you. It's with man. Man has no one to blame but himself. Does he? No one to blame but himself for all his troubles. All the troubles in the world, man has no one to blame for him but himself. People want to blame God for their troubles, or they want to blame the devil. And it's us. What's us? The devil gets blamed for a lot of things he doesn't do. It's our human nature. I'm telling you, we do things just by our human nature of what we are that Satan has nothing to do with. It's us, and then they'll either blame God. But I'm telling you, it's hard to get someone to say, I'm guilty. It's the hardest thing in the world to get a man. Go to prisons. The prison's full of innocent people, isn't it? Everyone in there has an excuse as to why they do what they do, or they got framed or something, but try to find a man that says, I'm guilty. I am. That man's of God. That's the work of God to do that. Adam and everyone since has forsaken God. He said, you sold yourselves. The problem's with you. Wherefore, when I came in the flesh, when the Son of God, God Almighty, became incarnate, and He came in the flesh, He said, there was no man. There was no man waiting on me. There's no man looking for me. There's no man listening to me. There was no man. He came in mercy. And none wanted mercy. He came in truth, and no one wanted to hear the truth. No one wanted to hear it. Christ came into the world, and it rejected Him. He came unto His own, and His own rejected Him. That's right. He was the most rejected man that's ever lived in this world. The most rejected. The Old Testament says, someone's coming. And when He came, He was despised and rejected of men. No, now listen. No one was glad to see Him but those that He made glad. No one was willing to bow to Him but those whom He made willing. If He did not make us willing to bow to Him, no one would. We'd all turn thumbs down on Him. We'd all run Him off. If He didn't make us willing. If He didn't make us glad. He's the one that has to do it. And when I called, was there none to answer? He says, none. He says, none. None. He called to the marriage feast. And you know what they said? Well, I've got married. I bought a piece of land. I can't come. I've got a new wife. I've got to stay home. I've got busy. Too busy. Too busy to listen to God. Too busy to pay attention to God. Too busy to listen to His Word. That's what they say. I'm too busy. Just too busy. When I called, He said, you were too busy. He said this, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her brood, and you would not. You wouldn't have anything to do with me. He called by the gospel, but none would have it, except those whom He made willing. Those disciples that He went around and He chose and He said, come follow me. They were made willing. And that's the reason they followed Him. And that's the only reason they followed Him. But He says, when I came, there was no man. When I called, no one would answer. No one would answer me. No one wanted anything to do with me. Is my hand shortened that it cannot save? Or have I no power to deliver? Is my hand withered? Is my hand weak that it can't save? Is man in the state that he's in because of the lack of power in Christ? Is that the reason that the whole human race is in trouble? Is because Christ doesn't have the power to deliver him out of it? Is that why? Did Adam fall? Did Adam fall because Christ could not save him? Because Christ did not have the power to deliver him from Satan's attack? Is that the reason? No. No, he said, listen, he said, it's not a lack of power in me. Behold, at my rebuke, at my word, he said, at my word, I dried up the sea. No, he said, if you want to talk about power, if you want to talk about a lack of power here, let's look at my power. I dried up, I split the sea. I divided the sea. I dried up the river. He dried up Jordan. He said, I made their fish to stink. He said, I made it all dry. I had the power at my what? At my rebuke. At my word. They obeyed me. There's no lack of power in God. It's not from a lack of power in our Lord. Not at all. Scripture says, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. I tell you, you look at some of this. You go look at the earth and look at the Grand Canyon. Look at these things that God's made. Look over history at the desolations and the countries and stuff that God has destroyed and wiped out and it exists no more. All that is at His rebuke, at His word. Oh, don't blame God. Don't blame God for your troubles. He said, that's not my... I've got the power. The trouble is sin and man and the sinfulness of man. That's the trouble. At His word, man's situation is not from a lack of power on Christ's part, but it's because of sin on man's part. That's the truth. He said, that's the truth. It's because of sin on man's part. He says this in verse 3. I clothed the heavens. He continues with His power. He continues here taking our minds off of these things and putting them on His power. I clothed the heavens with blackness. And I make sackcloth their covering. In Egypt for 3 days it was darkness, wasn't it? Just 3 days of total darkness. You know who created that darkness? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who did it. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one they rejected, the one they despised, is the one who clothed the heavens with blackness. And he said, and sackcloth was their covering. Sackcloth. Christ is able by His word to cover the heavenly lights. Can you imagine that? We can go over here and turn the light out in here. He can turn them out in heaven. He can cover the sun, as great as it is. He can cover the face of the sun, and this earth wouldn't have light at all. The Lord Jesus Christ can do that. He can do that. When Christ died on the cross, there was darkness over the land for 3 hours, right in the middle of the day. There was darkness over the land. Oh, he said, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. And then he describes himself after telling them of his power, of his ability. And he says here in verse 4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. This is Christ, our prophet. Now he's speaking of himself as the prophet. He's that prophet that Moses spoke of that should come, that they rejected and despised. If we know anything of God, if we know anything at all, truly, of who God is, it'll be through Christ. It'll be through the Lord Jesus Christ revealing Him to us. No man knows the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. He said this, as I hear, I speak. As I hear, I speak. I have the tongue of the learned. I speak not of myself, but I speak the word of Him that sent me. He never spoke. Our Lord never spoke an idle word. Now I speak a lot of idle words. You could probably take half my conversation every day just throwing trash. Well, you probably take more than that. Probably take about 90% of it. You really could. I mean, that's serious. You could probably take about 90% of what I talk about every day and toss it in the trash. Not a word came out of His mouth that wasn't full of wisdom and truth. I just can't comprehend that. Every word that dropped from His lips had eternal meaning to it. He said, I have the tongue of the learned. The best teacher is the one who has learned the lesson that he's teaching. That's the best teacher. The one who's learned by experience the lesson that he's going to teach. That's how he can speak a word in season. He said here that he can speak a word in season to him that's weary. That's how he can do it. He can speak the gospel of peace and power to the sin-weary soul. He can do that. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. He experienced, I can't say this, but Christ can say this. He experienced everything, every lesson He taught. Every lesson He taught, everything He spoke, He experienced it. He knew it by experience. That's how He can comfort. That's how he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because He experienced everything He taught. Every lesson. And listen here. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as to learn. God, He's saying this. God the Father woke me up every morning. My Father, my Heavenly Father, woke me up every morning and instructed me. Wish I could say that. Early. He woke me up early, but I'd say before anyone else in the house was awake. He was being instructed. Even as a child, he was woke. Morning by morning, as a child, you know, when he was 12 years old, he was standing in the temple just dumbfounding those scribes and Pharisees. They were just dumbfounded. Morning by morning, he was instructed and taught by the Father. What a teacher. What a teacher. That's what happened. When I read this over in Proverbs, it just caught my attention over here today. Listen, back over here in Proverbs chapter 3. I never thought about this before, but let me see if I can find that again. It's just a thought that came to me this evening before I was leaving to come here. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Apply that to Christ. The Father speaking to Christ. That happened with him. My son, forget not my law. He didn't. He obeyed the law perfectly, didn't he? Every day he was reminded of the law. Every day he was mindful of it. Every day. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Where is he at now? Seated at the right hand of God. Seated there. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. They didn't. In fact, they kissed at the cross. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. This is God. This is the Father instructing His Son. I've never seen it like that before. This is the Father instructing His Son. He said, He opened my ear morning by morning. Boy, when I started seeing that just today, and I look at Proverbs, I look at the Proverbs as in a whole different light. He says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And he's finding that now. Look here, sitting. Look here, sitting. Here are men and women believing. Men and women that's not rejecting him now. He's found favor with us. Why? Because he's given us favor. That's why. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Who did that perfectly? Christ did. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Who did that perfectly? He did. He did. Oh, I tell you, I don't know. Maybe I don't think I'm misapplying that. But the Father, he said, he wakeneth me morning by morning. He instructs me. Instructs me out of his word. He instructs me. God the Father was his teacher, not man. Not Joseph, not Mary. I know they taught him some things, but he taught them more than they ever taught him, I guarantee you. But the Father, the Heavenly Father was his teacher. He learned early from a child. He learned. He's that prophet. He's that prophet that learned of God and revealed Him to us. And listen, He wakened me morning by morning. He wakened my ear to hear as to learn. And I was not rebellious. Have you ever woke up your children and told them what you're going to do? Say, I need you to, this is what you're going to do today. Especially when it gets to be teenagers. You just shoot them. I tell you, you just soon not wake them up, really. You just soon let them sleep. You can get it done better if you just stay asleep and you do. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you've raised teenagers. But he was waking every morning, morning by morning, instructed by his Father. And listen, I was not rebellious. Obedient son. What an obedient son. He submitted to the instruction of his Father. And I tell you this, none of us will ever have to do and endure what he was instructed to do and endure. Never. He's a willing Savior. Christ loved his Father. And he loved his people, us, his elect. And he loved to do the will of his Father. He said, my meat. My meat, when he woke up in the morning, he was eager to do the will of his Father. I was not that. I wasn't eager to wake up and do that. My dad could tell you that. I was not. Boy, he was. He was eager to do the will of his Father, which included great suffering. Suffering that you and I will never suffer who believe God. And cannot ever comprehend, really, the suffering that he suffered. And he says this, I was not rebellious. I gave my back. Here's the instructions. You're the son, you're going to be the substitute. You're the redeemer. This is what you're going to have to endure. This is a suffering. This is what's going to have to happen. And he says, I gave my back to the smiters. The same one that parted the sea. The same one that clothed heaven with blackness and sackcloth as its covering. The same one who spoke at his rebuke, at his word, he said the sea parted. The same one gave his back to the spiders. Same one. Same person. He said in the Scriptures, "A body hast thou prepared me. A body to suffer and die in." That's what he prepared for him. A body that I could suffer and die in for my people. His back was made for the smiters. His back. Now, our backs weren't made for that. His back was made for that. Here it is. Have at it. That's what he said. Here it is. Have at it. That's what it was made for. It was made for that. Because by his stripes, by the stripes on his back, by the lashing and the whipping and the sufferings he took, we are healed. We are healed. His cheeks, he says, for them that pluck off the hair. How painful that had to be. He said, I grew this beard. This beard is for them to pluck out. This body is for suffering. This body that I have come into, this body that I have taken, this body of humanity that I have assumed is for suffering. That's what it's for. I don't like to suffer. You know, I'd avoid it. I'd avoid suffering like a plague. If I can, I will. But he came meeting it head on. He knew that's what he was here for. They pulled the hair out of his face. And you really have to hate somebody to do that, don't you? You really have to hate someone to reach over, just like me, reach over and grab Luke's beard and just rip it out of his face. That's what they did. He must suffer this way in order to save sinners. No other way. He must endure our punishment and our suffering. And listen, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They spit in the face of the one who clothed the heavens. Spit in the face of the one who parted the sea. Spit in the face of the one who gave them the ability to do it. Spit in the face of the one who gives them their daily bread. Spit in his face. Whoa, what? That's probably the lowest of the low. I was watching TV once, and there was a program on, and they were shooting everybody, and people getting shot and killed. And I was sitting there watching, and the guy spit in the man's face, and I went, ooh. I didn't do that when they were shooting everybody. But I thought, oh, man. You know, that's just worse than getting shot. I mean, I had more reaction off of that than I did people being shot. They spit in his face, cleared their throat. I'm not trying to get gross here, but they cleared their throat. And you know what it says? He didn't turn his face. Knowing this is God. This is God who knows all things. He knows every event, every minute thing's going to happen. He knew before they ever cleared their throats that they was going to do this. And he didn't turn his face. He stood right there and let it happen. Let it happen. He knew they'd spit in his face and he didn't turn from it. He endured the cross and despised the shame, but he didn't turn from it. He did not turn from it. Not one time did he back down. Not one time did he back down. And here's his strength. Here's why he didn't back down also. He says in verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me." This should always be our strength in trouble right here. The Lord God will help me. He will help me. As a man, listen, as a man, he trusted God perfectly. He trusted God perfectly. And even that is laid to the account of God's elect. His perfect faith. We are saved by His faithfulness. If we want to talk about faith, if you really want to talk about faith, let's talk about His. It was perfect. He said, "The Lord God will help me." And the hour could not have been any darker. You and I will never see a dark hour like he saw. And he never once doubted God. Not like these Jews who are accusing him of casting him off. He said, "Well, then produce the divorce papers if that's so." He never doubted God in the darkest hours. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He still at that hour did not doubt that he'd get help. He didn't doubt. And he knew that though he suffered shame, he knew that he would not be ashamed when it's over. He knew that. He says there, "I know that I shall not be ashamed." I know that. And he says here, "Because of this, I have set my face like a flint." Well, that's determination, isn't it? Satan tried to turn him. Satan got him in the wilderness when he was hungry and there for 40 days without food or anything. And he came at him with full force. You and I said this the other day. You and I have never, ever, ever dealt with the full force of Satan. Christ dealt with the full force of him. And he never wavered. He never buckled. He never backed up. He never showed even an ounce. Even when you read the scripture, he never shows an ounce of weakness, does he? Never. He said, "I've set my face like a flint." I tell you this, if a person believes in what they're doing, you'll do it. Even in the natural realm. You go out here in the natural realm. You come up against somebody that really believes they can do it. Well, you got something on your hands. Somebody that can, even in the natural realm. He believed. Determined. Here's what he was. Determined to get the job done. This is why most people fail at what they do. They're not determined. They don't have the determination to see it through. When the road gets a little rough, they quit. They quit. It's always easier for humanity to take the least path of resistance. Our Lord met the roughest road and never looked back. Never looked back. And then here in verse 8 he says this, "He is near that justifies me." He kept his eye on God, didn't he? All the way through this whole process of redeeming and suffering, he never took his eye off of God, his Father. He never took his eye off of him. "He is near," he says, "that justifies me. And if God justifies me, who can condemn me?" Anybody above God? He said, "If he justifies me, who can condemn me?" Nobody. No man's going to condemn me. Only God's the only one I have to be concerned with. He's the only one I have to be concerned with. God, he says, will vindicate me in the end. When this is all said and done, God's going to vindicate me. Who will contend with me? Who can stand and look me in the eye and charge me and make it stick? Let all the adversaries and enemies come and take me on. Step in the ring. That's what I get here. Just step in the ring. Step in here. Anybody can charge me. Anybody can think they can make this stick. It's he that justifies me is near. He that justifies near me. Who can challenge my righteousness? Who can find a flaw in it? Who can challenge my blood? It's the blood of God. That's what it says in Acts. It said, "We're purchased by the blood of God." Who can challenge my blood? Who can find a spot or a wrinkle in my work? If God didn't find one in it, nobody's going to find one in it. God's all searching. You know, God doesn't miss a thing. I mean, he sees every minute detail. He sees every motive of the heart. He sees every thought of the heart. And when he looked at Christ, he said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Who shall condemn me?" he said. "And who shall condemn those whom I died for?" Nobody. Nobody can. And then notice here in verse 9, his confidence again. It just keeps coming out. And the more he suffers, the more his confidence comes out, doesn't it? Really, you know, the more we suffer, the more our weakness comes out. The more our weakness comes out. It just, I mean, the more our character really shows up when we start to suffer. But boy, the more he suffered, the more his confidence, it's just like a Samson getting hold of those gates at Gaza and just putting them up on his shoulder and going up on top of the hill with them. The more he suffered, the stronger he stood. He said, "Behold, the Lord God will help me." As a man, he needed his father's help, and he got it. This is a great mystery here. We can't explain all of these things. He's God. He's God Almighty. He's God in human flesh. And yet, he shows his dependence upon God. When he was hungry, Satan said, "Turn those stones into bread." Not one time during his earthly life, earthly walk on this world, not one time did he ever use his divine power to relieve his sufferings. Not one time. You know why? Because I can't. I can't. And so he endured everything that I can. I can't relieve my sufferings. I can't turn those stones into bread. And he didn't either. He didn't either. And notice here what he says here in verse 9. "Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." Everyone shall wax old. Generation after generation is going to come and go, and they're all going to cast aspersions on me, and they're going to make light of this and that. He says they're going to be like garments. They're just going to grow old and die. But I'm the same. I change not. His years shall not fail, it says over in Hebrews. His years shall not fail. He changes not. Everyone's going to come against him, and they're going to try to condemn him and say all kinds of things about him. But he said that everyone is going to grow old and die. But I'm not. I'll still be here. I'll be here when they're all gone. I'll be here. "Who is among you now? Now who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Who among you has been born of God? You've been taught what sin is. You've been taught what sin is. And you know something of spiritual darkness. You know something of that now. And you know something of your need of mercy. If you've been born of God, you know it. You know it. He says, let that person trust in the name of the Lord and stay. Let his confidence stay upon his God. You know, the name reveals a person. Let him cast his whole self upon me. That's what he's saying. When you cannot see for darkness, trust him who is light. Trust him who is light. When you cannot see which way to go, trust him who's wisdom. Who's infinite wisdom. Who never does any wrong. Who's good and loving. He says this: trust in God. And that's who he is. Trust God is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, let that child trust in God. And as for all you, he says here in verse 11, as for all you that kindle a fire, and you compass yourself about with your own sparks, and you walk in the light of your own campfire, you made a little fire, well, you can't get too far from that. The light doesn't last, though. He said, but you walk in the light of your fire, the fire that you made, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This is what you're going to have of me. When all is said and done, you're going to lie down in sorrow. Everyone who does not trust in the name of the Lord, everyone who does not find Christ to be all that they need, to find him to be their all in all, he said, they are going to lie down in sorrow. This is what they're going to have at my hand. Everybody thinks that when they die, somehow or another, They're going to make it. It's going to be all right. He says this, those who walk in their own fire, their own sparks, their own religion, their own righteousness, that's what that is. Your own righteousness, your own religion, your own understanding. He says they're going to lie down in sorrow. This is what I'm going to give them. This is what they're going to have. And you know, we've got to tell people that. We've got to tell people the truth. Those who are not in Christ, he said, will perish. Those who are not in Him will perish. Those in Him, we have all that belongs to Him. We have all that belongs to Him. Okay, Mike.